This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We are here. We are here. Outstanding draft day ahead, Bart Scott. I'm not even going middle name today because we've got too much to do over the next few hours, yeah. And we have finally arrived.
I'm so exhausted, like from just the pre-draft. I'm happy that it's finally here. We get some answers to the test. We finally get to figure out who's going where, and then now we can break all that down. Because I got tired of breaking down if Mac Jones is going at 3. I want to know, and I finally get to get an answer to it to see if Shanahan is as crazy as I hope he's not.
It's Barton Hahn right here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, also on ESPN Plus, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Allen today on this NFL Draft Day, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Guess where we're starting? Number 3, the 49ers. That's exactly where we're starting.
Not again.
And we're starting there because the final mock drafts from Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. have come out, and they disagree on what's going to happen at number 3. McShay has Trey Lance. You've got Mel, who's got Mac Jones at number 3. Bart, I am very much in the camp of Trey Lance at this point for the 49ers. And to me, it boils down to a couple of things. Number one, Lance, I think overall, is just the much better prospect. And the more I've heard, the more I've talked to people around him and understand it, have watched him, you know, in scouting roles and such, the more I come away with the idea that Trey Lance is somebody that can be a special quarterback in the league, but it's not right away. He can't walk in the door and start right away, which would lead me to believe that Jimmy Garoppolo will be with the 49ers if they take Trey Lance.
It all depends, right? Listen, Trey Lance, when you start hearing the narrative change around him and start saying, hey, he's the smartest guy that they've ever evaluated. When you want your quarterback to be the smartest football player out there, right? Because he has to be responsible for so much. Some quarterbacks are responsible for the pass protection. Some are responsible, especially when you have a Kyle Shanahan type of system. It's about being able to turn your back to the defense, snap your head around, figure out the rotation of the safety, and figure out where the one-on-one matchup is and where you should go with the football. And when you start hearing his recall, you start hearing that he's the smartest quarterback in this draft, and you pair that with the fact that he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he gives you everything you want, because you would assume that, okay, well, Mac Jones, his advantage is he's a great anticipator of throw of the ball because he can anticipate. But once you hear that smartest quarterback that they've evaluated, you're saying, hey, this guy's ceiling is so high, how can I let him go? He's built like Ben Roethlisberger, he's mobile like Josh Allen, and he has a cannon for an arm. Why wouldn't you want that, especially if you're a guy like Shanahan, whose call to fame is the fact that he's a quarterback whisperer, but he creates easy throws for his quarterback. So now you have easy throws. And I understand that you say, hey, if he goes to San Francisco, he may not be able to start the first year. But I remember playing with a guy named Joe Flacco from a small school in Delaware that wasn't expected to start, that only took a team that's very similar to San Francisco to the AFC Championship in his rookie year, and we almost got the job done and got into the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback with a strong arm, which was more mobile from a small school, because he's only going to get better. And San Francisco, with all the injuries they had last year, was right there in the mix and beat some teams at, I believe, 7-9. You know, they were right there, and a couple games go another way, they would have been the playoffs.
Now, there's a couple things here. Number one, when it comes to North Dakota State and quarterbacks, the small school thing is out for me because of the quarterbacks they've put out the last few years, and the fact that you have Lance in this position, a guy who could have gone to a bigger school, but he was only being recruited as a tight end. And he obviously believed in himself to play quarterback, and it wasn't hard to get sold on a place that has really started to produce them at a very high level. Secondly, I'm very curious for your take on this. You have Lance, who's a guy that's incredibly smart, but maybe the knock on him is a little bit of accuracy. and you have to develop that. And I think we've seen over the last
few years,
you can get better at that.
But
you,
that before, Josh Allen.
Right, and but he's developed it. He's gotten better at it. And then you've got Mac Jones, who's remarkably accurate, who is also somebody that's considered smart, but there seems to be this feeling about Mac Jones that he's just a guy, that he's a guy that you can win with if you have a good football team around him. And maybe he gets punished by the fact that he was playing with such high-level talent around him at every position. So if you have two guys like that, who are you siding with if you're making that decision for the 49ers?
I'm always siding with the guy that did more with less, right? And then they can, but the counter argument is they're going to say is Trey Lance played against a lesser competition. But what I'm going to say is that means also you got to ask yourself, who do you believe had the better coaching? And you would probably say, hey, Nick Saban, arguably the best coach in all of sports, right? Not, you know, I'm saying pro and college, right? Maybe one of the best leaders, one of the best developers of a talent. Whenever I look at players that come from the University of Alabama, I look at guys that are more of a finished product, meaning that when they get to the league, I don't believe that they can improve too much more because they've had all the coaching. They know the nuances. They know the idiosyncrasies of the game, right? They've learned all those things. When I look at a guy that comes from a smaller school or a team that didn't have teachers, I think, hey, that ceiling and that growth, if you're able to get your arms around them and develop them. So what you see now, if you're excited about what you see now, then you should say, man, what can they be once I get my hands on them and I'm able to put my spin on it and be able to mold this piece of clay?
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen. So let's shift to these quarterbacks and take a look at the guys right up top individually, because we haven't spent a lot of time on Trevor Lawrence because it's been a foregone conclusion for as long as it has that he's going to be the number one guy and he's going to be a star. We get into these times, this period of time in between the end of the season and then the draft. These few months where there is so much analysis that there can be paralysis caused by it. And guys start to look for holes in superstar players like Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody this morning, a guy who's a talent evaluator, and he said that when you look at Lawrence, as much as people want to go around and poke holes in who he is, he said, he's that dude. Bart, when somebody says he's that dude, what do they mean?
When they say he's that dude, that means he's as advertised, and you guys should have a little bit greater appreciation for what he can be. So when you think about when this guy says he's that guy, like he's a guy that's going to come in maybe like Justin Herbert and take the league by storm. Nobody expected Herbert to be as good as he was. But if you're excited about what Herbert did last year, then you should be equally as excited about what potentially what Trevor Lawrence can do. Now, the only thing that gets you a little nervous is, you know, Justin Herbert went to a team that was a playoff caliber team with tremendous skill players at every position. You think about Hunter Henry, you think about Keenan Allen, you think about Williams, you think about all they had around them. It's going to be important that Urban Meyer hits on his first draft. I mean, they have two. We always talk about, you know, Miami and how they have two first-round picks. We talk about the Jets, how they have two first-round picks. Well, so does the Jacksonville Jaguars. And guess what? They also have the first pick in the second round as well. So they have three picks in the first 33 picks. And they're going to have to hit and get some guys that can contribute early to make sure that they surround this guy with enough talent so that he doesn't struggle coming out early on.
Then you've got Zach Wilson. And admittedly, I have been a guy that all along believed that the Jets should have held on to Sam Darnold for an additional year and loaded up more on draft picks, not even necessarily draft picks this year, but even draft picks into next year, right, and a couple of more ones. If they had gotten a deal like the 49ers were willing to give up for the three, that maybe that was something that they should have looked at. But I'm not going to knock the Jets if they really feel like Zach Wilson is the real deal. And from all accounts, he has done all the right things, including reaching out to former Jet quarterbacks as to how to handle himself.
What am I getting myself into?
Well, he asked Mark Sanchez. Is there anybody to ask about that?
Did he ask Sam? Because Sam is most recent with the new regime.
I don't know if they've talked yet.
Yeah, Sam's like, yeah, go to the Green Turtle and drink off other people's bottles. It worked great for me.
Green Turtle.
It worked wonders for me. Only got mono. Don't worry about it.
Well, Mark was on KJZ this morning. Here's what he had to say about Zach Wilson.
I commend him because he's the one who reached out to me and some other former Jet quarterbacks. I think he spoke to Chad Pennington, who I have a ton of respect for, and I know you do too. But he had the foresight and the people around him to, once things started taking a turn in this direction, that it looked like he was headed east to the media capital of the world, really, that, hey, maybe I should ask some of these guys who've been there and done it. And so I appreciated him reaching out. Anytime anybody asks you for advice, it obviously makes you feel good.
They made the decision that they did with Sam to move on.
Right.
I'm on board with this. Yeah. If this guy, I was honestly most concerned about not being able to have the quarterback of your future in your building before you even drafted him because of everything that's going on with COVID. But Bart, if they honestly think he's the guy, I've seen him play. I did the bowl game for ESPN Radio for BYU, and he makes throws that are just staggering. And I understand the Aaron Rodgers comparisons. I don't know that he's going to reach that level. I'm on board if the Jets are, and seemingly are, locked in with the Zach Wilson pick here.
I mean, listen, Joe Douglas gets his quarterback. He's going to be attached at the hip with Zach Wilson. Solid. We don't know if he was on board with this. I'm sure he had appreciation for Sam Darnold. But
I think that probably took some time because he's probably looking at it like, we have to team build.
Right.
And in year one, why not take what I have as a given and then try to get as much as I can moving forward?
No, exactly. So, Joe Douglas got the quarterback that he sees for the future, and they have to move forward. So it's no looking back now. I wish that they would have kept Sam Darnold and maybe built the team by being able to load up on picks and get so much depth. When you look at the middle of this draft, it's a lot of quality picks, as we expect so many offensive players to be taken, in the top 10, that it leaves a lot of defensive players and explosive players to be near the middle and the end. But, they're with Zach Wilson, and they have to do a better job than what we did and continue to build around Mark Sanchez. I feel like Mark Sanchez, the best roster that he had was the first couple of years, and then those pieces started to chip away because the Jets have done a horrible job in picking in the first round. We have the list of how many guys that they've had that not only are not on the team anymore, but not even in the NFL, right? That goes back to
maybe even in the country.
Right? That goes back to 10 picks. So, Joe Douglas says that, hey, he wants to build this team through the draft, which means you have to be patient. And this is only his second draft. If you look at what he did in the first draft with the picks that he had, Becton, Davis, you think about, some of the picks that he got. I love Bryce Hall was a steal that they have. I think that, he sees, value in the third round, and he can build his team. So if that's the way he wants to go for it, we have to wait and see. We can't say any way is the right way until we see things play out. And that's what you talk about all these guys. Oh, they look like Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like, okay. Does that mean that he's going to be Ben Roethlisberger? Because we know that out of all these quarterbacks picked, out of five, at least two of them are going to be busts.
Well, then there's the last one that we haven't talked about yet, and it's Justin Fields. And Bart,
it's the forgotten one.
And I think it's unfortunate because to me, Justin Fields is the guy that feels like he's sliding. I'm still trying to figure out why. And maybe he is the Justin Herbert of this year, where he could end up in a really good situation by virtue of sliding and thrive as a result. Maybe he doesn't play right away. Maybe he gets into a situation like if he really slid. Let's say he got drafted by Pittsburgh and was behind Ben Roethlisberger for a year. I honestly think
he probably get a fight with Dwayne Haskins in the lunch crew.
Probably. But, I also look at this and think if he's getting in the right situation, it's going to benefit somebody like that like him to slide because A, he's going to have a massive chip on his shoulder, and B, he's going to have better players to do it with.
Let's just talk about, but that's the intriguing thing. Outside of one and two, Like, every quarterback that goes after one or two are seemingly going to go to a great situation unless the Chicago Bears pick you. And even if the Chicago Bears aren't bad, right, they just need a quarterback. And you could be the missing piece, but you're going to have to be the savior. You're going to be having to save Pace and Nagy's job. But if you look at the quarterbacks 3 through 5, man, they're going to go to a great situation. I mean, look at, you know, the 2018 draft, right? And look where all those players that fell went. And look what happened to them. Lamar Jackson, I'm sure he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
And ended up in an excellent situation.
I'm sure that Josh Allen is pretty happy, right? So, yep. Like, sometimes when you lose, sometimes when you win, you lose. And sometimes when you lose, you win.
And Herbert was supposed to be the number one overall pick, and yeah, he went fifth,
right.
But still.
Yeah, because they were sucking for a duck the year before.
Yep.
Right? So, even sometimes, like sometimes when you win, you lose. And sometimes when you lose, you win. So, when you look at it, right? They can lose and say, okay, my pride is hurt a little bit because I slipped. But, man, look at the situation that I'm able to go into and look what I'm able to do and thrive. I got a team that's ready to protect me and I can hit the ground running, you know, because there's going to be some bumps in the road for Zach Wilson. There's going to be some bumps in the road for Lawrence. But the other guys, whoever lands at 3, could potentially be in the Super Bowl this year. That's just how good the roster in San Francisco is. And if they have somebody that can carry the ball and that can distribute the ball, they could potentially be in the championship game.
Who lands at 3?
I think, for me, I just cannot see giving up 2 first-round draft picks. And listen, I know people want to say, oh, he reminds me of Matt Ryan. But listen, you're expecting – how many times have we said this guy reminds me of somebody and then he turns out to be like that guy? Right? So I don't think – you know, so I'm going with somebody that we – that I can mold somebody with so much natural talent that when the play breaks down, he can do something special for me. I mean, Kirk Cousins isn't what I want to be my quarterback to be comped as. And right now, Matt Ryan isn't who I want my quarterback to be a comp as. I want the evolution, and the evolution is Trey Lance.
So you think it's Lance at number 3?
Yeah, and why it's not Justin Fields, I don't know.
And if it's not Lance at number 3, and if it is Mac Jones, they're likely to end up trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. And as Adam Schefter points out, there's really only one place for Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is pretty simple to me. What teams out there, outside of New England, would you view as viable landing spots for Jimmy Garoppolo? Chicago made a move for a quarterback in Andy Dalton. Washington made a move for a veteran quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They should have traded for Jimmy Garoppolo back then, but they have invested, you know, roughly $10, $12 million in these guys. They're not going to go bring on another veteran at 25. I don't see it. To me, this is New England or no one.
Is it more likely that by the end of the weekend, the Patriots will have traded up higher to draft a quarterback, or they will have traded for Jimmy Garoppolo?
That's interesting, right? Because Jimmy G, that I'm sure they love him, right? They never want to get rid of him. Bill, it's kind of like Bill saying, hey, I finally got the guy that I wanted all along. But Jimmy G, since he's left, hasn't been healthy, right? And you just can't trust that. Like, I can't trust Jimmy G. Now, if I'm Chicago, and I'm saying I get to keep number 20 and I can give up the second-round draft pick, then I'm going to do that in a heartbeat, right? So if they're telling me Jimmy G's available, but that's also telling me that it's Mac Jones, because Mac Jones is ready to play now. So, I mean, if I'm Chicago, I have to make that call because his salary isn't that high. And then, again, that means you get to trade. Like, the Jets need a backup quarterback, right? It's a lot of teams that need a quality veteran quarterback. So if you're able to trade for Jimmy G and it only costs you a second-round draft pick, you still only have, like, $20 million invested into your starting quarterback room. So if I'm doing that, then I'm saying, hey, I'll trade for Jimmy G. Then I'm going to either trade Andy Dalton or I'm going to trade Nick Foles, whichever one I can get the most for. And then Jimmy G is my quarterback of the future. And if it doesn't work out, the team can still get out of Jimmy G's contract because it's a natural out in his contract.
I'm going to present option C.
Oh.
The Patriots draft Davis Mills later.
I like Davis Mills.
Yeah. I think that's even more likely than the other two scenarios, because to me...
So what the hell are they doing at 15, Krill?
Maybe they trade back from 15. Patriots have been known to do that, too. Depends if some players slide to 15 or 16 that you don't necessarily expect Maybe the Jets want to move up if one of their guys, and they decide to try to move up to 15 or 16 and give up a third round pick to do that. Yeah. There are so many intriguing scenarios tonight.
Yeah.
Last one I want to know here. Will one of these quarterbacks be the rookie of the year?
Ooh.
Let me answer it for you. Yes.
I don't think so, man. Because you know who steals the show early on. Receivers. Receivers or tight end or Pitts. Like, it's going to be one of those guys that's going to steal the show, man. Because they're going to put up ridiculous numbers. Just look at what Jefferson put up last year, 1,200 yards receiving. And he was with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, right? What can a guy like Pitts do or Chase do with Matt Ryan, with potentially Julio Jones being traded? Man, I don't know. Listen.
Trevor Lawrence is the rookie of the year. Mark it down.
I'm getting a damn headache.
Mark it down. Write that down.
It is so many.
Write it down.
No, I don't got a pen. Mentally stamp. I don't. Listen. This, man, tonight's going to be crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Because it's like. It's so many unknowns, right? So many unknowns. We don't know, like, what the medicals are on some of these guys. We don't know who has a great scouting department because that's really what you're talking about. You're talking about scouting guys that opted out. To me, some of the best players are guys that opted out and people have forgotten because they haven't been able to get their hands on them. So you got to be able to go deep in your scouting department. And we know that all scouting departments aren't created equal.
That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, will three quarterbacks be taken with the first three picks? Find out tonight. The 2021 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio, presented by Sherwin-Williams. First round coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern, including Bart Scott, on most of these ESPN Radio stations. Up next on Bart and Han, two of the other teams in the top 10 have traded for quarterbacks this offseason, but does that really mean they're not taking one? Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. We'll tell you why in moments right after Bart fills you in on our friends from Home Depot.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck. Use the Home Depot mobile app to put over 2 million products in the palm of your hands. Some ready in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools you need, the Home Depot Tool Rental Department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app to get started. Bring it on, spring, with innovative help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
It's going to be an electric night tonight for the NFL draft. What's your team doing? 888-729-3776, 888-729-ESPN. Your calls in just a moment. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Chris Carlin in for Alan Han. And there are two teams here, as we get to the calls in a second, that are a little bit fascinating in the top 10, both of whom have traded for quarterbacks this offseason and as recently as yesterday, with the Denver Broncos trading for Teddy Bridgewater, Carolina traded for Sam Darnold. I could see Denver still taking a quarterback in the top 10, Bart. I do not see Carolina doing that with Sam Darnold when you gave up a 2 and a 4? That's a lot of equity for a guy that they feel like can still go out there and prove himself to be a quarterback.
I mean, and Matt Rhule is a quarterback whisperer, but also you think about the fact that they haven't picked up Sam Darnold's option, which would make – it's kind of odd. Like, you give up that much equity for him, and maybe –
there were indications that they were. They have until May 3rd.
Right, right.
This weekend, so.
Yeah, they got a couple of days, right? No, I mean, you would think that they would pick it up. He's a young, talented quarterback, and you think about him reconnecting with Robbie Anderson and what that was, right? And then now you give him McCaffrey. Now you want to go out and protect him because you could potentially have a steal, because at the end of the day, if Sam Darnold performs at a high level, then you essentially found your franchise quarterback, and he's only 23 years old, so he can be your guy. Let's just say that's really realistically, if Sam Darnold plays to 38, he could be your guy for 15 years. How many people would love that type of stability and able to build around him? So I think, you know, you really go out. It's a young team. It's a young, exciting defensive team. They took a lot of defensive players last year, and now it's time to kind of build on the offensive line because you have McCaffrey, so you have to protect him as well. So you want to try and invest in a tackle, because if you invest in a tackle, then you're protecting McCaffrey, who's your best receiver and potentially your best running back, and your best offensive weapon, and protecting the quarterback.
Let's hit it. 888-SAY-ESPN. We begin with Ed in Michigan up first on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Real quick, I think ESPN needs to ban everybody from using the word quarterback whisperer.
Not Rhule, the offensive coordinator. My bad. That was at LSU. Did we lose him?
Ed's out? Well, if that was the comment, Ed.
When he said ESPN should ban, then that what the powers that be just dropped it. Sid was just like, no, thank you.
You know what word I hate? Upside. I hate that word. Upside. Let's go to John in Georgia is next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, John A?
Hey, how come the people don't think the Falcons should go after a defensive back like Surtain at number 4? That's one of the biggest problems they've ever had since Deion. They haven't had no defensive backs.
Well, they had Trufant. Trufant just couldn't stay healthy. But it's, to me, some of the best corners you can get, I believe, in the second round. I think it won't be a run on corners too late in the draft, but I believe that it's so much depth at the position. It's about, you know, dealer's choice. What type of cornerback do you want for your system? Do you want a nice cover 3 cornerback? Do you need a guy that can travel? Or do you want you need a guy that just can get be physical and set the edge and come up and tackle and play that Tampa 2 type of, you know, reroute and have eyes to the quarterback?
Surtain and J.C. Horn are the top two guys. Then the next tier.
Farley's better than me. He just health issues.
Yeah. Well, that next tier, you're going to see a run on those guys probably in the 20s.
Yeah,
you're going to see a bunch of them go in the 20s.
You got Elijah Molden, who I believe if you need a nickelback, that's your angry nickelback. You know what I mean? Or if you need some depth, it's still some depth at the position. You think about Newsom from Northwestern, who I love his ball skills. And you also have Asante Samuel Jr., who plays just like his dad. I can tell his dad taught him how to play the trap technique because he's one of these guys that bait at like he's in man-to-man and falls off, and he's really good. And you think legacy, right? You know, second generation. He's going to know all the tricks.
Eddie, he is in New York City. He is up next on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Bart, Chris, what's happening? Dude, first of all, I'm so glad you guys landed on your feet off that other sinking ship radio station. But on the Jets, listen, on the Jets, I don't care what they have to do, lean on next year's draft. I want Fields, the Clemson running back, the Alabama running back, the Penn State tight end, and the Miami tight end.
You want Travis Etienne and Najee Harris?
You got
them both. I want double running back. I want double tight end, and I want Justin the Jet Fields. Justin the Jet Fields.
Remember that. Well, first of all, that's not going to happen. Yeah, I mean,
none of that's going to happen.
That's
going to
be
you're
0-5
right there.
But you know, you think about this system. It's the Kyle Shanahan one cut system. Name their running backs.
Yeah.
You don't have to name him. What, Mostert? Like, we only knew about Mostert after the Jets cut him, and then he came back and went for a touchdown in the first play of the game, right, for 76 yards. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, running backs are at a premium. You don't need – look at Alvin Kamara. He's a fourth-round pick, right? Some of the best, Nick Chubb, second-round pick. Kareem Hunt, I believe, fourth-round pick or second-round pick. You don't have to spend a lot to get a good quality running back. They brought in Tevin Coleman, who I believe that they should have got, you know, the other year when Le'Veon was available. They should have got Tevin Coleman because I thought he was a cheaper version but offered the same skill set. You know, they're going to be fine at the running back position. Now, being able to get some protection, and I'm still holding out that maybe, you know, they take one of the fourth-round draft picks and say, you know what, here you go, Philadelphia. Come on, Zach Ertz. Come on home to Joe Douglas. Papa Joe wants you to come on in.
What's left?
He's 29 years old. What do you mean what's left?
I know, but his body has taken a beating. He looked like toast last year.
Well, tell him to call up Ray Lewis and get some deer antler spray. I don't know what the hell you want me to tell him.
Do they still make that?
Hey, it's available. It's all black market. Don't worry about it.
Steve in New Jersey. Steve, Bart's got a guy. He lives in Jersey.
Oh, Bart, you funny. I hope Zach Ertz goes to the Jets. I'm an Eagle fan, but I'm from New York. Only reason I'm an Eagle fan is because I follow Donovan from Syracuse. So I would love for Zach Ertz to come to the Jets. I'm also a Jets fan because, like I said, I'm from New York. I support them. And my cousin on my dad's side of the family is Al Toon.
No doubt.
So my last name is Toon, by the way.
No doubt. The great Toon.
Look, I just don't know how much is left for Zach Ertz. You want to bring him in for a year and see if there's anything there to help?
You're still hoping that Herndon is no different than the Giants bringing in Rudolph, right?
Yeah.
Like, he got one or two good years. He's only 29 years old, man. Maybe just been injured one year. Maybe he has a healthy offseason and he can get right. Like, you talk
I understand, but this is a guy that has been a physical tight end his entire career.
He don't have to be the physical tight end no more. He can be the pass catching, get open, be an easy target for my quarterback tight end, and let Herndon do all the heavy lifting, right? You're still hoping that you can get something out of Herndon.
Let's hit Kyle in New York real quick. Up next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just had a quick question for you. Bart, when you were a player during draft night, what would you do on draft night? Would you watch? Would you care? Would you get along with other players and watch it together? And would you even give a call to the guy that got drafted to your team?
Bro, you talking about as a player, Cobb? I say, you know, I didn't have much of a draft night. I didn't get drafted, but you know, my draft started on Monday.
You didn't have one of those sad parties,
yeah,
though,
my,
did you?
Yeah, my draft started on Monday.
but didn't have one of the parties, right, where you're having people over?
No. Ozzy said, hey, maybe we'll pick you in the sixth or seventh round. Yeah, whatever, Ozzy. You only had like 25 compensatory picks. Yeah, six. Yo, we had – the year I came in the league, we had six-round draft picks. I'm like, damn, Ozzy, I can't even be Mr. Irrelevant. What the hell going on? Anyway, it ain't about me. But no, you know, for me, I really didn't care. I would watch the first round, see who we got. You know what I mean? Pretty often there was nobody in the first round that ever contributed, you know, other than Muhammad Wilkerson. You think about Kyle Wilson, he didn't work out. You picking scabs, man, because Quentin,
D. Milner.
Yeah, D. Milner, Quentin Copel. Yeah. You know, so for me, I was just like, you know what, who we got to get in free agency, because if we know whoever comes in at the first round ain't going to help.
888-729-3776. We're taking your calls throughout the course of the show today. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Coming up, the wide receivers in this draft. There are three big ones. Two of them could go very, very early, but really, should they, to the teams that are projected to take him? It kind of feels like it may not be the best move for those teams. We discuss in moments. Barton Hahn normally coming to you live from the Heineken Riverdeck at Pier 17, but we are up in Bristol, Connecticut today because Bart is part of the coverage of the draft tonight on ESPN Radio. We are looking forward to it. We continue with your calls, and as we just said, exactly what teams are taking wide receivers early, and should they? It's next, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. There are a couple of wide receivers that we all expect to be right at the very top of the draft. Now, one doesn't seem debatable. Two seem to be kind of fighting it out with one another. They're from the same team. We're talking, of course, about Ja'Marr Chase from LSU, who everybody expects to go very high, and then Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Devontae Smith.
Bart, I'm looking at the Cincinnati Bengals. You have Joe Burrow. I understand that Chase was his guy 2 years ago. They have got to protect Joe Burrow at all costs, especially after what happened this past year. To me, it's absolute malpractice on the Bengals' part if they draft a wide receiver at five as opposed to taking Penei Sewell.
That's tough, man, because I think you get what you need. They're losing A.J. Green, right? They have T. Higgins that they took last year, but you know, you got to have two good receivers as well. So if it's, you know, I mean, Pitts should be a consideration. If Pitts is there, that's a real consideration. And also, if it all depends on, they need a right tackle. So right tackles, you can get a right tackle, I believe, in another round. Remember, they're picking like 36th, 37th in the second round. So if they need to move up and maybe move back in the first round, I'll get greedy. If you want to move back in the first round, if you get the best player available on your board and that best player available is Chase, and you think about the connection. Listen, a lot of people don't want to stay in Cincinnati, right?
Of course.
So I'm going to bring – if Joe Burrow say, hey, maybe I'll be here a little longer if you bring my buddy with me, somebody that I got connection with, somebody that was my friend.
If you're Burrow right now, are you absolutely campaigning for Chase?
Yes. I mean, look what he did. We won a national championship together. Like, I got chemistry. I know exactly where he's going to be. I don't have to learn him. I know how he comes out his break. I know his body language. He's big. He's a guy I trust with the 50-50 ball. He's a guy I can put it up there for. Listen, if you're saying, hey – we're going to find out a way to listen. They got rid of Gio Bernard.
They did get rid of Gio Bernard.
They got rid of Gio Bernard, right? Yep. So like they lost that ability to get somebody that they can give the ball to that was a great receiver of the ball. But you know, you want to run the ball. They got to commit more to the run. And I know for them to improve in the run, they got to address the offensive line. But Chase is just too good to pass up if he's there as well. Pitts is as well too. And it all depends on your philosophy, because you don't see the value immediately, or it's not as glaring when you get a right tackle or you bring a tackle in, other than if you get a receiver. Because now you got a guy that's open, so now he doesn't have to hold on to the ball as much, because A.J. Green was never available.
The other one to me is if the Giants end up taking a receiver, it better be Devontae Smith. And there's been some talk that maybe they would actually go on the defensive side. To me, it does make sense for them to go defense, for them to go with Devontae Smith if he's available, because he's a game breaker. And I think he's going to be a big, big time receiver in this league. Barton Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Up next, the latest rumors before it closes down. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.